Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna, and welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Minister's Friend podcast. In this week's episode, I conclude my interview with my friend Father John Davis of the Abbey Mission and Fresh Expressions U.S., answering the question, why worship? Scripture helps us here. In his letter to the Christians at Rome, the Apostle Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Romans 11:33-36. Likewise, when writing the Christians at Corinth, he tells them that they must do everything to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And the prophet Isaiah proclaims that you and I, well, all humanity, are made for God's glory. Isaiah 43:7. Why do we worship? Because that's what we were made to do. The problem is that humanity no longer understands that. Sin has caused us to reject or walk away from our very purpose. Our worship is our primary reason for being. God says so. And those of us who lead others into his presence in worship need to understand and teach that constantly. I'll have some closing thoughts. But right now, let's rejoin my conversation with Father John Davis. How does my own personal time of worship, apart from the body, and even things like, I don't think this is practiced a lot in North America, family worship times, you know, where the family gathers around the dinner table after supper. And I think back to when I was a kid, my grandfather was my pastor growing up, and after supper, every night, we would stop around the table, and we had family devotions. My grandfather would lead it. And then after my grandfather passed away, my aunt, who was his oldest daughter, picked up the mantle, and she would do that. And that was life for us. What about family worship and, mm-hmm. and putting that together? How would all that play into this overall worship experience and the intimacy that you're talking about?
Well, I think the thing is, the one thing, you can sort of say it this way, worship is central.
Yes.
Think of all the things that we do as Christians, right? If you think of the sort of the things that we practice, the things that we're going to do. I read the Bible, right? So there's a whole list here of things we could sort of think about. You know, I pray. And I pray sometimes intercessory prayers for yes. folks that have needs. But you know, John, there's coming a day when I won't have to pray anymore. There'll
Amen.
Be no more death, no more pain, yeah. suffering, disease. All that will be gone. There's coming a day when I won't have to study the scriptures anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to know fully, as scripture tells us, I'm going to yeah. know fully, even as I'm fully known.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Coming a day when I won't have to evangelize, because yeah. that work will be complete and
Amen.
Done as God gathers to himself every people from every tribe, people, nation, and tongue.
Yeah.
As he gathers that. So that work will come to an end. But of all the things that I do as a Christian, the one thing that's going to last for all eternity is worship.
Amen.
And so the thing is that's an important aspect of it is central. You know, and I can't quote it. I went to a Reformed seminary, but don't have it memorized in my head. But the first step of the Westminster Confession of Faith is, "What is the chief end of man?"
Right.
It's to enjoy God's presence forever. Yep. That's a paraphrase. Yeah. It's close. You probably know it.
I'm a Heidelberg Catechism guy, okay. So it's not. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same.
It starts with the idea is that the Westminster Confession starts with worship. The issue is this: is that worship is central, and so whether it's in our families, mm-hmm. whether it's in congregations, whether it's me on and you know this about me because we've talked, whether it's me on my mountain in North Carolina mm-hmm. by myself in a hermitage retreat. You know, it is central to my relationship with the Lord. And the thing is, as I was sort of saying, it always will be.
Yeah.
Always will be. And I think that, you know, once again, read Revelation. You know, in chapter 4, there are all these throne room moments where all of a sudden something happens in the context of you know, the narrative of Revelation, and everything stops. And the 24 elders bow down, and they throw their crowns before the Lord, and they worship the Lord. And the seraphim and the cherubim, the angels, were singing, "Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy. Yes.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain."
Yes.
You know, to receive glory and honor and power and dominion. You know, and so you get these pictures of it, and really, ultimately, worship to me is about the presence of the Lord. I think ultimately, everything from Genesis to Revelation, the whole story of salvation history is about God's presence. Mm-hmm. We were created in His image to enjoy Him. Mm-hmm. And we screwed that up, you know, and we fell. But the rest of it, think about this story, is that God is trying to establish relationship with His people. Now, in the Old Testament, that was through sacrifices and covenant and those kinds of things. And the thing is, but it's about His presence. This is the Shema, that He is our God and we are His people. And then we come through that, and the promise of Scripture is always God's presence. So Psalm 23, when we come to it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Not because I'm tough and mean and can handle stuff. Mm-hmm. I will fear no evil because You're with me.
Yes.
Jesus' promise at the end, at the Great Commission, is, and lo, I am with you always.
Yes.
And then we have, you know, the great, so we're reconciled to God through Christ, and it is His presence that we enjoy, and it's His presence that makes a difference in our lives. And then ultimately we have almost the Shema stated again in Revelation, that He is our God and we are His people. And so, and I think on this side of glory, that presence is best known in the context of worship.
Amen.
A worshipful heart and a worshipful life. It's not necessarily about singing songs. It's about understanding who I am as a child, as an heir, as a son, or if you're a daughter, who I am in terms of that I have been reconciled to God, and that nothing, once again, think of the promises, there's nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of Christ.
Amen.
You know, love of God that is in Christ. You know, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things in the earth or under the earth. On it, you know, it just goes on and on that there's nothing that can separate. Psalm 139 reminds us that there's no place that I can go that God hasn't already been there.
Mm.
You know, and that ultimately it is His presence. And part of it is I love the prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes and he goes that I want you to know that how deep, how high, how wide is the love of Christ. And ultimately what I call my life verses from Philippians chapter 3, where it says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Not that I've already attained all this, already been made perfect, but this one thing I do, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And so that's that exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That's that interaction. That's that engagement, if you will, with the Lord that worship offers us. And if we're doing that, as a congregation, if we're doing that as the body of Christ, as the people gathered under the banner of Christ, then people are going to, they're going to know it. They're going to experience something that is life-changing at the very core of who we are.
Amen. Amen. As we wrap up our dialogue here, do you have any specific suggestions for our churches that are listening for some things that they can seriously consider changing or doing or implementing to freshen the worship experience for their folks with God?
Yeah, I mean, a few things come to mind. I think, first of all, you know, we've talked about a lot of principles in terms of like the idea of epic or those kinds of things. And I think that to be a clear and sort of way to evaluate what you're doing, look at what you're doing, put it on the table mm-hmm. and look at it, mm-hmm. you know, and put everything on the table, I would say. And what really are those moments where we're really doing well and people are engaging and connecting? What are those things that we're just doing because we've always done it that way?
Yeah.
And I think the thing is to ask hard questions. Now, sometimes that'll come at some cost, mm-hmm. you know, in one way or another. People, you'll have folks that want you to do certain things as a congregation, and there's value in that.
Yeah.
You know, there's value in understanding that the church, we don't do this in a vacuum. We do this. We worship in the context of the communion of the saints.
Amen.
All people in all times who called upon the name of the Lord, that they gather with us. I love this idea. In more traditional places, you'll see it, or older churches, you'll see a cemetery mm-hmm. with headstones right outside next to the church.
We had that in my first church.
Yeah. We have the church where an Incarnation meets. It actually has a memorial garden where people, you know, ashes are interred. Mm-hmm. But there's names and plaques of people that are out there.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful reminder to the church that we don't worship alone. And so I'm not one for just sort of, you know, throwing everything out and starting new and all that sort of stuff. I think there's a context for us to understand in terms of the worship that we do this in the context of a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a more Reformed or more Methodist-like or whatever it is, there's a tradition there. There's something that's liturgical versus something that's non-denom and just kind of mm-hmm. like a very informal, those kinds of things. Once again, those are all styles.
Yes.
And styles are important, but I think the thing is, ultimately, I go back to that epic idea. So that would be the first thing that I would say to folks is that really be willing to evaluate what you're doing. Where are you truly being epic?
Mm-hmm.
Since it's been a thread of this conversation.
Yeah.
And then where are you not? And where you're not, what can you do to take that moment and make it epic in terms of that? You know, and I think, you know, there's a lot of variety in that. There's not... You know, in terms of fresh, I think the other side of it is that once again, going back to the idea we mentioned, it, that Jesus told us that the true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and truth,
mm-hmm.
and for such the Father seeks.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing is, how are we truly worshiping in spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and how are we, in a sense, inviting the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in those times, and really opening ourselves up to the move of the Spirit? Now, I come out of a charismatic background.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a very much Episcopal Anglican, but I've come out of that background and time in our church. And I think the thing is, there's healthy stuff, and then there's weird stuff, just to be honest, you know, kind of thing. And I'm all for the healthy
mm-hmm.
kinds of expressions. I know that it can go quickly from the spirit to the flesh.
Yes.
You know, in terms of practice. But I think the thing is that I want to be spirit-led, and I'm willing, in a sense, to risk.
Mm-hmm.
Risk the flesh or risk those moments just so that I'm truly opening myself up to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, so it's less about what you're going to do in terms of the style and those things, and it's more about the intention that you bring to it. And that's what I would sort of say. What's the intention? How by singing these songs,
mm-hmm.
how by having these prayers, how by making these, we would call them manual acts, you know, whether it's kneeling or standing or whatever, those kinds of things. How can the physicality of our worship, the space of our worship, how can all these things be spirit-filled and spirit-led to bring people into that place of encounter with God? And I think ultimately that's the real challenge. I may be a good judge, and I'll finish with this, a good judge of worship experience would be back to Isaiah. So after he has this moment in the very throne room of God, he says, woe is me, I am undone.
I am undone.
So I'd love for people to walk away from a worship service that I'm a part of, and I want them to be undone by God.
Amen.
In that regard. And then an experience in the redemption, love, and power of Christ in that. But that's the kind of idea. Worship should do that for us.
Amen.
It should it should mess with us in the best of all ways.
This has been so good. Father John Davis, thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast.
Oh, thank you, John, for having me.
I want them to be undone by God when they are leaving worship. Undone in a good way. That's a radical idea. Is that what happens in your worship gatherings? It's actually very consistent with the purpose of worship. Father John and I reflected on our respective creedal backgrounds a bit. Remember the very first question asked in the Westminster Larger Catechism. What is the chief and highest end of man? Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. Do the worshipers in your pews on Sunday understand that? I know in many churches folks have traversed the catechism as teens, but it's one thing to memorize the answer to recite them for one's confirmation service. It's quite another to understand and live that answer out every time one gathers to worship our God. God made us. God loves us. God pursues full restoration with us. God offers us redemption in Jesus so that we can once again relate to Him rightly and worship Him fully in spirit and in truth. There's been a running theme in these episodes about intentionality in our worship. I think that's one of the big enemies to worship in North American congregations today, the tendency to slip into automatic pilot as soon as we gather together. We have to fight that and strive to enter God's presence on purpose. Thank you to Father John Davis for his insights these past few weeks. Next week, we're starting a brand new series of episodes with Caleb Ives, Executive Director of the Emmaus School, on helping our folks to fall in love with the study of God's Word. What we'll unpack together is so practical, anyone can do it. Don't miss it. Is the Minister's Friend a blessing to you? Would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen and leave us a review? It really helps us. And please be sure to tell your friends, the pastors that you know and the church leaders that you know, about the podcast. Your recommendation to others is the only way we can grow our audience. I hope today's episode was helpful. Please check out the show notes for additional information and suggested resources. And as always, thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!